Hey there, Feud fans. We are talking about episode 6, Hagsploitation, or what I'm just calling FU Jack Warner. Stay tuned.
Creepy.
It's very creepy. This makes me want to, like, just dance.
Just in slow a dark dance room. In a sad way. The last dance, if you will.
What a sad, sad episode.
What is up, Feud fans?
Hey!
Hey, everybody. We are very excited. We are back once again for the 6th installment of the epic feud between Betty and Joan. I'm your host, Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And today I am joined by two of my favorite ladies.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, guys, what's up? I'm Nikia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom.
Hey, everybody. I'm Lisa Mason Lee, and you can find me everywhere at Lisa Mason Lee.
So this episode was interesting because I feel like so much happened, but also not as much happened as in other episodes, but still like more did.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It was a lot, but it wasn't a lot.
I feel it just went by really fast. It felt like, wait, that was it? That's the end. I need more.
It made you wanting more. Agreed. But it was such a good episode because I remember watching it. I had to keep going back and rewinding. Yes. I'm like, wait, what did they just say? What did Jack just do? Mm. So it was a really good episode.
Great episode. I love this one. How are you feeling this
one? I'm loving it, and I'm loving the John Waters cameo.
Yes!
I had no idea that was coming.
Did you guys know? John Waters as William Castle? No, I had no idea.
Pretty awesome.
That was just a nice little treat for us.
Thanks, Ryan.
Which was awesome, too, getting to see the Straight Jacket trailer, which was almost shot for shot a recreation of the actual trailer.
I love
Even
that.
Even down to them saying, like, warning, there will be axe murders. Like, that was a real thing in the trailer.
That's
so it was
awesome.
So cool. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, look at them just teeing up these actresses. Like, give them all the Emmys.
Yeah.
Shower them
Let me
with
tell
Emmys.
You, Jessica Lange, I mean, even when she was doing the trailer and she's playing Joan, she's such an amazing, I'm like, these women, her and Saranna, if they don't get an Emmy, I don't know what.
It blows my mind. They're so
good.
Needs
an Emmy. They're just so authentic and so on point with Feud and all the facts. It's just so dope.
How cool would it be if this was like the first time if they could tie for first place and have, Ooh. For first place, like they rank the Emmys. If there was two and they both got it and they shared it, how cool would that be?
That'd be pretty awesome.
Break it in half.
Yes.
Like Mean Girls.
Yes. Just full fledge.
Or like Adele at the Grammys. I don't know.
She donated that to Beyonce in spirit. That'd be pretty awesome if the both of them can come up because that would show women coming together because they're playing two women who hated each other. Mm. So that'd be awesome to see these two come together and share a special moment like that because they're legendary actresses.
Exactly.
Why not?
I'd be all about it.
And the feud continues.
All about it.
Always a feud.
So at this point, basically, the ladies are thinking they're going to get a whole bunch of offers and everything. Not really that much has happened. 9 months has gone by. The only thing that Joan has gotten is Straight Jacket, which also, that was a real thing, too, that she, when she did the promo and they handed out the little plastic axes.
Yeah.
That was real.
That's awesome.
I heard.
That was pretty awesome. I'm like, Joan, like, I know Joan's upset, but I'm like, bruh, you got a movie. You know, a lot of people weren't even getting movies, but you are on a movie, and her insecurities come in, of course, when those young ladies come up with the axes, because Joan wants all the attention to herself. So, of course, she feels bad, but I'm like, you're in a movie right now. You're actually acting. You're not sitting home.
I think that that was probably a little exaggerated for this show, too, just because she had agreed to all the promo beforehand. So,
and to do the tours. So I'm like, okay.
And I feel like she's thinking, like, anything is, you know, and she still is feeling all highfalutin because she's not on TV.
Exactly.
And Betty has wagon trains, so she's like, well, I'm in the theater. You're like, you're
and I have an
plastic
Oscar.
Heads down
the That's not mine, but I still have the Oscar.
Oh, my God. I loved that line when she was when Betty was calling out Joan and was saying, and then she went to go and pick up this Oscar. That the winner still hasn't seen.
Joan is not letting that Oscar go. No. I mean, apparently we know that she gives it back, but it took her some time to give it back. But I can just picture Joan sitting in her house with the Oscar, like, holding on to it like it's her baby. Like, Joan, no, you did not own that.
She's losing it, man.
She's crazy.
She's throwing vases at Mamacita.
But let me tell you, I love when Miss Mamacita stood up for herself. Yes. She's like, you are not to throw anything at me. And the next time you throw something at my head, I am leaving you. I said, bravo,
and then
Mamacita.
You will have nothing.
Bravo. Mommy Dare is coming out. Yep. I'm just saying. Yep. I'm just saying. So happy that my girl stood up for herself, though.
I loved that. Mm. I love seeing Mamacita's story arc.
Yes.
Too. Yeah. Like, when she was first introduced, I felt like she was going to be kind of this little sidekick mm-hmm. character. And she has been such an empowered woman throughout all of this, too, that I'm like, girl, get it. Mm. Get it, Mamacita.
I love it. I was just happy that she stood up for herself. And Joan's like, me too. I'm sorry. No,
you're
don't
always
do that.
Sorry.
And you're always sorry. Do it again. You will have nothing. So that was a really great moment. Shout out to all the Mamacitas in the world.
Which we need more, especially in this, ladies sticking together, because we see a little, you know, behind the scenes look at Jack Warner talking to,
here we
to
go
his
again.
Guys. And he is upset that they think that the New York Times have coined the term hagsploitation. Because he is so proud of this term that he has come up with because of this genre he
Jack
feels he has created.
Yeah, with his two original hags. So he says.
The worst.
I love what he says when he, you know, he's talking to Bob and he's trying to get the two ladies. And Bob's like, I don't want to do it again. And he's like, if you think it's twilight for us, it's midnight for them. Oh. Like, it's over for them. I'm like, Jack. And then, you know, because Jack Warner is Warner Brothers. And he's like, do you see any other brothers standing here? It's just
me. One of my favorite lines, and he's like, I'm the last dinosaur and I'm up to my tits and tar.
Like, Jack Warner's a crazy guy. He has the most amazing quotes ever.
He has the best quotes. I love it. But yeah, he's just.
With the hags. How do you guys feel about that, the hags?
I hated that. Especially, I love that the one guy calls him out, and he's like, you know, my mom says they're kind of degrading. And instead of being like, oh, maybe they are, he's like, boom, yes, exactly, they're degrading. Let's degrade these ladies. Because people love watching their idols be ripped down.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Jack Warner is crazy.
And then he crawls back to old Robert.
Oh, that was an amazing moment.
Which I absolutely loved. Yeah, the first when he is talking to Bob and trying to put Bob in his place.
Oh.
But then ultimately, Bob needed some good stuff this one.
Yeah. Bob finally grew some balls a little bit.
Yes, and he even flat out says, he's like, I'm came here from to get my balls back.
It's like, you hear that sound?
Love that.
You hear him clanking?
Balls back. It's the most amazing thing because, you know, poor Bob, he's been getting the low end of the stick, and Jack is just so horrible towards him. Because remember, like, the guy says you banned him from the lot, and because he didn't want to do the movie, you know, you got rid of him. So it was kind of awesome to see Jack crawling back, and he didn't want to make it seem like he was begging him, but he was low-key begging him.
Sure.
And I was just so happy that good old Bob stood up for himself, and he's like, I'm not going to take this from you. I have other people that I'm going to be partners with.
Daryl Zanuck, just straight up. Daryl Zanuck, who also, which that's like the lowest blow he could do because Jack felt that he had betrayed him.
Yes.
And so
Jack feels like everybody betrays him.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, oh, because you're such a great guy, Jack. Like, what's the common denominator here, buddy? You're the worst.
Sure.
But, yeah, I love the just F you, this is my genre. And him just going off on his whole, like, you questioned me, you berated me, you made me question myself. Then
good old
just,
Bob.
Boom. Didn't come here for cigar, buddy.
Yeah.
Take that, Jack.
Loved it.
And suck it. Sorry.
it like the cigar.
Exactly. When I was watching it, I was just clapping my hands because I'm like, finally, you get a backbone. Because, you know, the women kind of took advantage of him. Everyone else was taking advantage of him. Jack Warner, old Blue Eyes. So I was so happy that he was able to stand up for himself.
Dude, unfortunately, though, we see Bob is just having some real problems with his personal life, too, because the first Bob and his wife are, you know, having a little problem in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Just the first little inkling that there's going to be some problems to come.
He couldn't hang.
Yeah.
Harriet's like, I want a divorce. Let's end this right now. Which kind of sucks because I mean, I get where she's coming from because, like she says, you are happiest when you're making these movies and right. I'm not there with you. Your family's not there with you. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like Pops just always, people just always, excuse my friend, shitting on him. And this was the moment where his wife's like, oh, and by the way, I want a divorce. And he was so happy about this movie because
he invited the family, gave the kids parts and everything, invited her to come to Louisiana, so...
That kind of sucked. I guess she was like, it's a little too late. And plus, he was having the affairs.
Yeah.
You can take what you can
I was
take
mad
so
at
much.
Him, yeah. You know, when he was hooking up with Betty and Harriet was still in the bed that episode, two episodes ago.
That's the only thing
ago.
That I'm like, I don't think that really happened in real life because, and I hate to say this, the real Bob Aldridge was kind of gross.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Betty would, I think she would have been like, oh, that's cute, really? Bob.
Yeah. Then you never know with these
you
ladies.
Never know. You never know.
Because remember, she...
I know they were good friends, but I just... Friends. I don't know if Betty would really be like, yeah.
So you think they use that esteem to kind of get Joan a little bit more pissed off at the whole situation?
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I feel like...
Because Joan and Bob slept together back in the day.
Back in the day.
Way back in the day.
Right.
But by that point, it's like, oh, man. Like, he didn't really age that well.
Yeah, he really did.
But, yeah, that's rough, man. Like, 23 years, and then she just turns, and he's like, why don't you want to be part of my movie? Because I don't want to be part of your life.
Oh, that was hard. It was like a stab in the heart.
Shots fired!
It's like, Harriet, tell him how you feel, girl. She's like, you know... A person can take so much. Not only were you having affairs with me, you're sleeping with your co-star. I'm sitting here waiting for you. I hear about the disrespect in the streets with you sleeping with these other women, and I'm your wife, and I've been holding you down for this long. Enough's enough. And like she said, she's like, I don't know what's going to happen with me. And if you know, you stick around for this, like, you kind of could be wasting your time. I don't know. I feel bad for Bob, but then again, it's like he was no angel here. So
no.
I don't know when I lost my life, but I'm going to get it back. But not with you.
Well,
God, Harriet, just twist the knife a Bob's little bit face. More.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm like, legit, Harriet has been the one holding it down this whole time. And she even called out Bob and was like, you know, you've been all bummed out, less because of your flops, more because you're upset that your biggest hit is a lady movie.
Yeah, and it's
successful.
Screw
you, it's a very big success. Enjoy it. All these people. I'm like, enjoy what you were.
Exactly. And
ungrateful.
They're so ungrateful. I feel like this episode was kind of like the episode where people are either taking a stand or it's like a breakup episode. Because you see with Harriet and Bob.
Both.
Bob is standing up to Jack.
Everybody has their awesome moment and then their breakdown moment.
Yeah.
Mamacita and Joan. And
it was everybody in like a really good... And then poor Hedda. Shows up. Turns out Hedda has had a heart attack. This is everybody's kind of swan song. Everybody feels like they're on the way out. They're very aware of their mortality and the mortality of their careers. And so Hedda point blank, you know, comes over one Joan thinks to say, this is the twilight of my career.
Right.
She's been focusing on all of the careers that she's destroyed and the real That's repercussions horrible. That she's had. I mean... There were the people who have cursed me, sued me, and offed themselves.
I was
and
like,
everything.
Girl,
yeah.
She actually enjoyed it.
And I felt good that I contributed to our moral economy. You're like...
Ma'am, that's why you had the heart attack. That's not a very nice thing. I'm like, the people who killed themselves?
Right,
You're
right.
happy about
you
that?
You should be proud of that.
And her heart decreased 3 sizes that day.
And it's crazy because then you kind of feel bad for her. And then all of a sudden she comes and she hits Joan with the good old little blackmail. Like, oh, and by the way...
Yeah,
by the way...
Just to let you know, there's some rumors going around that you have a stag film, you know, aka one of those pornographic films that the young ladies had to film in the 1920s when they were trying to get some money.
Yep.
If you want, you can go out with a bang. Like, girl, we were just bonding over your heart attack. How dare you come in my home and try to kind of blackmail
me? Don't talk about going out with a bang because of a previous bang.
Exactly. I love that. You're going to try to use my previous bang and try to tell me I should make the most out of this and sit down and write an article?
No, ma'am. They, this is unclear, though, as if this really happened or not. There were two different movies that she rumored. The rumor was that she was in one called The Casting Couch and one called The Velvet Lips.
The Velvet Lips. What I love.
I did hear that.
It's not confirmed, but like her first husband, I believe his name is Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
Yeah.
It's like this is something that she told him. And then I think they were on their honeymoon. Like, this is a thing. I just want to let you know. But because this was shot before, like in the 1920s, there's no film, there's no photos. So, and then her second husband said that there were people who would call and blackmailers who would call to talk about this film.
Yeah.
So, and these are, this is what they told the people that they were doing the biography.
Warner Brothers notoriously would go and buy up all of the copies of all of these movies for their actresses because during the contract player days, they were, you know, that was their entities. Yeah. So they would go back and buy all of these movies and have them destroyed.
I was like, I wonder if low key if it's something at Warner Brothers and someone has it in a vault somewhere.
I feel like they probably, I mean, it would have been out by now. So
this
it probably they just destroyed all of them.
Yeah, lucky for
But I think it did exist. She kept denying it.
Yeah.
Kept denying it and kept denying it. But I'm like,
the casting couch?
Well, that's when we learn about her brother Hal.
Good old Hal.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a shocker, huh?
That was intense.
That was like her old dark past, you know, had she had to go visit it, sesh it out.
Hal wanted that money. He also was a part of it, but I love because, you know, it brings
but
up her past.
Did
it's like he really didn't. I think he just wanted to stick it to her a little bit. And I love that he kept calling her Billy, her nickname.
Oh,
and
I love that.
I think it was just big brother, little sister, who they were just going back and forth with each other. And, you know, he also came out to be a star, and she helped him a little bit, but not really.
Yeah, he said, you hired me, or you got me a job as an extra playing a clown.
Yeah.
That sounded, the hurt in his voice, you know, like, that's all you could do for me?
Exactly.
And you're Joan Crawford?
And then he also brings up the fact with her mother, but remember, she talks about her mother kicking her when she's 12, because allegedly she says to him, you were the one who told on me. With, I think she calls him Daddy.
Kaysen or
something? Yeah, Daddy Kaysen.
Who was that?
This is the man, her stepfather, who she slept with.
That's
when I had 12.
That's
so it's
I
like
thought.
She's mad at Big Bro for either blowing up her spot, and then he was really close to the mom because, you know, he's like, how dare you treat our mother like this? And I also love that he's like, I'm proud of my little sister. I do watch your movies, by the way.
Yeah, like, but he's still blackmailing the crap out of her. And then initially when she's like, I don't have any money, which we then see, you know, the turnaround after this new film that comes in that is not really new. This was, you know, pitched before, but Jack Warner is basically asking for an exact replica. Like, you're asking for lightning in a bottle again.
Yeah, exactly.
You're asking for exactly whatever happened to Baby Jane. Whatever happened to Cousin Charlotte?
The same
cousin
cast.
Charlotte in Louisiana.
Like, let's call him Charlotte, Baby Jane. Like, that is not going to work.
With and then they even, which actually they had originally offered the role to Ann Sherman. Ann Sherman was originally being considered. That was a real thing.
Nice.
And then Jack Warner really did say, no, it needs to be Joan again. Originally, Joan wasn't going to be considered in this one. Bob and Betty were going behind her back, kind of, to do it.
Wow.
So.
Imagine how that would have played out.
Yowzers.
Scary.
But I love, too, seeing that montage of Bob talking to the two ladies.
Yes.
And then both having, like, their lines could have been interchangeable about each other and about themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where we see the direct parallels again of how they're basically in the exact same situation.
Yes.
Neither one of them wants to be pushed aside. I'm seeing it's a joke now. You know, and the actual line, I wouldn't piss on Crawford if she was on fire.
That's my favorite quote. Favorite
that was
quote.
Real. Betty really said that in real life.
I believe it. Favorite quote. Betty Davis is the real MVP. That is my favorite quote. I even have it circled. That's
original
how much I love
shade.
It.
And that is an actual real line.
I love it.
Betty said about Joan.
I also love when they're doing the table read and Betty gets upset and she leaves and Joan's like, I can read for both parts.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh my God.
Awesome. Amazing.
So good. Now, the table read I love too because we really see Betty standing in because in the back and forth of what they wanted, we see that Joan asked for top billing.
Yes.
Again, happened in real life.
Right.
She asked for top billing over Betty.
Mm-hmm.
But Betty, smart, asked for creative
control.
And we see in the read-through, while Joan is just trying to contribute anything, and she's asking about really dumb things like syntax and, like, are there too many ellipses? Let's change them to a semicolon. It's like, woman.
Ma'am. Shh. Quiet and drink your Pepsi Cola.
Drink your Pepsi Cola in silence. Enjoy.
Be quiet. But I love she shows up camera ready, and there's a photographer taking pictures.
And Betty is there to work. Like, she's not there to look
shows
glamorous.
The difference between the two.
Right. I love it.
And when they show up, Betty's like, I'll speak for the both of us. And Joan's like, okay. And I like how, sorry, it's kind of funny how Joan throws her under the bus when they get to the table read.
Immediately.
Well, she starts throwing under her little by little.
Betty kind of shot herself in the foot when she was like, you know, I don't want it to be this hokey, embarrassing thing, you know, like what you just did, basically.
I was like, Betty. You were so close to getting along, and then
you
when she
knew
said that.
So much. Mm-hmm. You knew better than that. And then meeting outside, and saying that if we go in with the United Front, if they had at any point been a United Front, they would have gotten everything they asked
everything.
For.
Yes.
And it would have been so successful. And these two women would have got all the deals, I think, coming in. They would have got more movies, but because, you know, Jack and Bob can stand
the
working with them and the
levels.
Stress. And you're working
nobody
with the
would
same
ask
cast.
Brando to do this. Well, Brando isn't begging for roles on Wagon Train.
Oh.
Shut up, Joan. Shut up.
These ladies, they would have just been quiet. And I hate to say it like that, but if they would have just participated and did what they had to do, they would have came out on top. And if they would have been together
as a team,
would have been. They're already legendary, but they would have just got so many more
roles. They
need
to just talk things out, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sad that one conversation could have probably ended this whole feud, and they just could not.
Can we all just get along?
It's all could have been friends. Yeah, I do love that we see, too, Betty yelling, change the title.
I love it, as she's walking out.
As she's out, which they changed the title because of the song. That was composed. That started with "Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte," where they're like, "Oh, that's a that sounds better."
Yeah, whatever happened.
Interesting.
To, come on.
Yeah, it's like come
Jack.
On,
that was not
on.
A very smart choice. Can't have whatever happened to Baby Jim.
But it was literal, and for the public to understand that it's in a second installment. You know, it's a part two. See, I didn't even know "Hush, Hush" was a part two. In a sense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just didn't work. Which
Jack.
I'm sure we will see.
Yeah.
In the future.
More and more, which I cannot wait to see.
I'm so excited.
As this dives into the story more.
And then did you guys catch, though, that Hal had basically said there was no movie before he got wheeled away into surgery?
Yeah, which
is
very ominous that...
I'm like, is he just saying that just to say it? Or
right.
He's being super creepy, like, there is no movie. I was just using you for the money.
Right.
Or I actually still have it.
Right.
But just to make you happy. Because he says to her, he's like, you're always going to see yourself as everyone else see, as I seen you, or as mom seen you, as this rotten person on the inside.
We're both rotten trash.
Yeah,
basically,
trash.
Yeah, like, he can call it as you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. Like,
yeah.
There is no movie. You said it yourself. You're setting yourself up for failure.
And like he said, I thought you had no money, and then all of a sudden, here you come with the money, because there is no movie, like you said, right? There's no movie. So it's one of those things where I think he's trying to, like, poke her a little bit and play with her insecurities to get her to be like, okay, there is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, how?
Well, but she, you know, she does say that she's got this offer, and I think Hal's basically just like, you know, even if you have this movie, it's not going to happen, Joan.
It's not going to happen.
Like, this is the end of your career. Give up.
Mm-hmm.
And she just cannot accept that. And I love her scene with Mamacita talking about how, what am I going to do if I don't do this movie? She finds out that her brother has died in his surgery.
Appendix
exploded.
Appendix burst. Yowzers.
And Mamacita is, you know, saying sometimes the emotions are too strong.
To
you can't cry. She immediately calls
the bank.
To just
bank!
Say, cancel
to
the
stop
check.
Stop that check.
Stop
I knew
payment
it.
On the check.
I felt that coming.
Such a Joan. Let me call
like
the bank.
She's gonna cancel
check.
That check.
And the thing that and she's less upset about the death of her brother than she is about the potential
money.
Death of her career.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Which is so narcissistic, so just ridiculous. Which we really see what she values in that too. When Mamacita is saying, okay, well, the silver lining is now you don't have these expenses, you don't have to pay off your brother, you don't have to do this movie that you're not happy doing.
Mm.
And she's like, I would rather torture myself doing a movie that I hate than do nothing.
Mm.
Because what am I gonna do, just sit here and think about how I used to
exactly.
be awesome?
Think about all the memories. I just love that. You know, she's on this movie she hates doing. She doesn't get... The driver doesn't pick her up at the airport.
Oh, she
doesn't get in the suite that she wanted.
But even Mamacita telling her, you know, you can hang out with all your new friends. There are
you
people
get
who love you. You're invited to things. She's just like, you know,
it's so crazy.
I might as well be dead.
this is what it bothered me. These women are so legendary and they're getting the success still. You're getting invited to all these parties, but you'd rather sit at home and weep and be like, oh, well, no one loves me. Obviously, you're a legend in this game.
Yes.
And Mamacita's like, you're getting invited to the parties. What are you talking about?
Be aware of the love that you have.
They don't know how to handle their success, what we talked about last week.
Exactly. They can handle they can't handle success. But now we're seeing the failure aspect is somewhat even worse, which I love that we even get the direct parallel of her being so just ridiculously dramatic with her brother in the hospital. And he's like, are you here to smother me? And she's like, you're already dead to me anyway.
And I loved it.
Yes. So dark.
And then he actually dies.
That was
sad. And her response to Mamacita after is talking about herself, if I'm not working, I might as well be dead. And it's like, baby doll, you just did this exact same super dramatic, you're basically dead to me.
Exactly.
And then the literal death, that isn't going to trigger something? Like, hey, maybe when you're actually on your deathbed... Get it together, Joe!
Get it together. Your own
You still
brother.
Have time. Spoiled. You have time now.
Yeah. Such a narcissist.
Enjoy the Betty rest of your good. Life.
She is making Betty look good.
Betty looks sane, smart, like she still has it together.
You know. And and Betty working with her after the craziness that she did. She did at the Oscars.
I can't believe she even took her back. God. At all.
Well, Betty at this point, too, is just thinking, I don't want to die on wagon train.
True story. What else am I going to do?
True.
So she's like, I'm going to work with Joan, but here are the conditions, and this is what I'm going to do. But I love that she's celebrating with Bob, and they're having a good old time with that champagne.
It's and now that awesome. Bob is partners, God. Too, He's so they're not fighting life. Against Jack Warner. It's
exactly.
Like, this should be the ideal situation. This should have been their reward. For everything that happened.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I love that Betty, it was kind of a great dig that Betty had to come to the front desk and kind of save Joan.
Yes.
Because she kind of had to throw that in her face, so that was pretty awesome.
Right, the concierge recognized Betty, it seemed, and didn't really know
who Joan
was.
It was like a refreshing Pepsi Cola straight to the face.
That was pretty awesome. And she walks in with the champagne and a bucket, and she's like, we'll see you on set, Joan, but get comfortable. And it was pretty awesome. She got to get that
and
dig
then
in.
We see the double dig, the champagne she was grabbing. Joan goes back to her room, and even though she feels like she's been kind of, you know, pushed down at this point, I am determined. I'm going to go into this project with a proper spirit. We're going to put this dreadful day behind us. I'm going to call up Bob and let him know we got here and let him know some of my notes. And instead, she hears Betty in the background.
Having
giggling.
A good old time. Giggling.
Hang on before the champagne gets flat.
That was amazing. Amazing. Ooh. Hey. Because, you know, she went into Baby Jane with Bob kind of on her side. And then when she brought in Betty, they've been friends, but they formed a relationship. And I think she thought that I was going to, you know, Joan loves that attention. And someone's not paying her attention, you're going to get hell. So the fact that Betty is all cool and she's hooking her up at the front desk and now she's hanging out with Bob having a good time. And Joan's sitting in her hotel room with Mamacita.
Like, Mamacita said, she's enjoying this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Betty and Robert had that little bonding moment when they were on set. And he was out. She thought he was taking a pee, but he was crying about Harriet, right?
Yeah.
And then
expelling
she said,
different liquids.
Yeah, exactly. And she said, you know, it hurts, but we can be alone together.
Lonely.
You know? So I feel like
I don't know
she's
how to be
shoulder.
Alone.
Shoulder to cry on.
I love it. And she's like,
I
was going to say, she just said that she's been through it four times. She's had four courses, so
and
it's great.
That she, you know, you'll get through it, really giving him that encouragement. And we see that this is a genuine moment. She's not trying to get anything from Bob in this situation. Mm-hmm. She honestly cares about him. So,
Betty's a good friend to have.
I think so, too.
She kept it real with him. She's like, is this something that you want? Or, you know, your wife is a good woman, but... We can be alone together. We can do this together. It's fine.
Yeah. So heartbreaking. Bob saying, you know, this was supposed to be all of us together.
Oh, Bobby.
And all I'm doing is looking around and saying, this is what ruined my marriage.
Next time, keep your penis in your pants, Bob. I'm just saying. And don't have your mistress on set. Have your wife on set.
Yeah. I think maybe, you know, I don't think it's really... I think it's maybe like pin your zipper and then that won't be the issue. I don't think it's really the movie.
Yeah, I don't think it's a movie, guy. I think it's, you sleeping with other women and your co-stars.
Now, what did you guys think about that part where Betty was playing the part of a high schooler at that party? You know, when they're on set and she said, oh, I'm, you know, you just shoot me from the back or find some other girl who looks like me. I wonder if that's factual. I didn't get a chance to look that up.
I don't know.
Because, you know, for her to pull a younger girl out of the group and push her up as one of the, you know, actors, it just seems like something Betty may not do. Oh, the younger
That's
girl.
That's what she was saying, was don't show her face, put her face in the shadows.
I missed that.
Show, like, just the dress, and then I'll do the voice, so you don't see, like, get a lookalike girl.
Yeah. Right.
We won't show her face at all.
Right.
But basically a body double.
Oh,
a
I
young
see.
Body double. Yeah. Mm. Which, like, they do that now.
Yeah, they not, do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, I feel like that's not an absurd request. As if you're hanging out with, if you're older and you're playing...
Damn little, right, give me a body double.
Yeah, same. I would.
I'd take one now.
I'd do that right now.
Yeah.
It's like, you put me next to a high schooler right now, and I'm like, no.
I'll take that
Can
body double.
Can we get
double.
One of these to stand next to the rest of these and pretend
Thanks.
That I'm one of these, but I'll be over here.
Right.
You just hear my voice.
Smoking over there in the corner.
With the other old people
the
going.
The other hags.
Right.
Hags.
Just kidding. I had to say it.
Jack's favorite word, hags.
Yeah.
Oh, Jack.
I just can't. I gave you a stack of hag scripts. Pick one. Jack. God. And I feel like this is such a direct parallel to what I feel like is happening in so many studios even now.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, this happened. This was a great weird fluke. Let's make the exact movie again.
Yep.
And they're like, that isn't going to work.
It's not going to work, though.
It's not. And then every time they're surprised. And you're like... 1964.
Are you saying like with women or just a movie?
Just
complete,
in general, like they'll anything. Yeah. Well, I feel like not even just remakes, but like when something, it's the same mentality of how Warner Studio, like when Armageddon comes along, and they're like, oh, let's make Deep Impact.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay,
some
guys,
other outer
come
space
on.
Thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is what's hot right now. Let's make this exact same movie, but slightly different, and then we'll just have them at the exact same, like back to back.
Yeah.
So
it's like, no, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not gonna. I don't know, but he's also looking through, seeing all of these other companies making all this movie, and even Straight Jacket has made $2.4 million for some other company that is not
I love
Warner
it.
Brothers,
I love how he gets the numbers told to him and what studio's doing what. And I'm like, Jack, just give it up, bro. Just give it up. Like, you're not a nice person. Maybe if you were more nicer to your people, Joan and Betty would have probably made this movie with you. Not saying that they were, like, the greatest people to work with, but if you were a little better, maybe you would have got your hag-sploitation movie. And that's why the other companies and the other networks are doing bigger and better things.
It's like, swallow your pride, too,
exactly.
Buddy. Like,
it's time to bow. That's why I feel like this episode was when people were either, they had to fight for their last chance. And you see everyone fighting for their last chance because they didn't want to go out as a failure. So I felt like one of those episodes.
Back then, TV was, you know, downgrade for actors, it seemed.
I did love, now she's on wagon train, she's on TV. Is that really a face America wants to see at dinner time? I don't think so.
I love the digs that they throw at each other.
So good.
You're so right. Yeah. Like, TV to them back then was like, oh, gosh.
I feel like people are kind of like that. And then now with, like, the digital age, people are like, oh, well, this new medium. Anytime there's a new media, I feel like anybody from the old media kind of looks down on it a little bit until
they actually are
on
TV.
You see them kind of crossing over here and there.
Because now you're starting to see a lot of movie stars on TV
now. Whereas... I think 20 years ago.
They would have never. It would have been like, oh, what are they doing on TV? They probably can't get a movie deal. Where it's now, it's like the thing to be on TV or to be on a Netflix or a Hulu or Amazon and go back to filming a movie.
And do commercials, too.
Yeah. It's pretty big.
And even now web series, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lisa Kudrow, I think, was like the first one to kind of do her own web series. And she was like, you know, people are crapping all over this. Wait a few years and see if I'm right. And then,
smart.
Voila.
Waited a few years.
She was right.
Look who was right.
That's right.
Like, damn, go Phoebe, Lisa. Get it.
Phoebe, you get those coins, girl.
But, yeah, I think that ultimately just all of this, the most symbolic scene is at the end when Jack is finally kind of handed his own ass to him when Bob is talking about, like, listen, my clackers, buddy.
Most amazing
and then
thing.
Just cigar lid closing.
I love it. I love that because Jack thought that he can keep throwing things at Bob. And Bob's like, no, actually, mm-hmm. no. We're going to actually be partners. Thank you. Nope. I'm getting this much. Nope. Actually, no. I requested this and I'm getting this.
Yeah.
You can't have my cigars.
Extinguishing it.
I don't want
just
your cigars.
Just like done.
I love it. I came to get my balls back. Take that, Jack Warner.
Ooh,
most
it.
Amazing thing. I was really happy for Bob when he was able to stand up for himself. So, but like I said before, he was not able to stand up to anyone.
But I just love the way that this is shot. Like, just the super symbolic nature of like these scenes and how they're seamlessly cut together. Like Ryan Murphy.
Amazing.
On
amazing
it.
Man.
In fact, John Waters actually had went to one of the original Straight Jacket screenings.
Really?
So I guess this episode's director, I forget his name, I meant to write it down, but he had done some research about the Straight Jacket screenings, and he found some information that John Waters was a fan of William Castle, wow. and so he offered John Waters the part.
Oh how gosh, legendary is that?
Awesome.
Wow, yeah. You get to play the part of someone that you love.
That you admire.
Yeah, that's pretty mm-hmm. awesome. Ryan.
I love that.
He's such a great director because I feel like they pay attention to details and everything that Ryan Murphy creates. They just pay attention to everything, even with this show, mm-hmm. down to like the trailers. And then I love when they go back and they shoot like the things from the 1940s, and it's literally on point when they're shooting the old movies.
Yeah.
They just pay attention to so much mm-hmm. detail. So shout out to Feud.
This
FX.
Show.
Amazing.
I can't believe there are only 2 episodes left.
The scream that Joan did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only 2?
Oh, well, I know they're getting.
It feels like it's going so fast.
Yeah. I know they're going to be busy with Versace, the new crime story. Oh. They're casting for that and everything right now. So.
I'm obsessed with anything Ryan does. I was obsessed. Mm. I was like really into OJ.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought I was weird.
So good.
I'm like, no, this is amazing because what I would do, I would watch OJ and I would YouTube literally the trial and it was word for word.
You're kidding.
This is why I love Ryan Murphy and this is why I say Feud is amazing. So I know Versace is just going to be on point.
Oh, man.
Like,
I love going to be so glamorous and Miami and
so 80s and so 90s
of all of
I know
it. I'm a stan. I'm here. I'm a stan. So.
I'm glad too though that this was like OJ kind of its own mini series.
Yeah,
because we know that the next 2 episodes we're gonna get some resolution.
Yeah,
I mean we're just now starting to get into Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte. So.
Right. I'm excited to see
I'm
the next
so excited.
Episode. This is a sad. It's bittersweet because it went by so fast.
I know.
And
it's the twilight of our.
It's the twilight
show.
It's midnight. No, it's one of those things where you know we've always been fans, but now with this show, we can become fans again.
Yeah.
With the ladies, and now that they're not here, it's like they still are here.
Yeah.
So that's why I really love Feud. So I'm sad that we only have 2 episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
We should see if we can do a watch along with Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It'd be cool.
Letters
be cool.
to Daddy. But y'all, Blanchard. I always have to say it. That's like something I want in my voicemail. I just want that.
I love that.
Just that part. So I want someone to call me and be like, what
I
the
want that to be. I'm
going to
make a custom ringtone.
But
and so it'll just
Blanche.
Be.
Y'all. My aunt used to quote, like, we randomly, like, in New York, shout out to my aunt, she's homesick, but we would, aww. Like, we watch old movies together back in New York, and we would literally just throw Baby Jane quotes at each other, so we'd randomly be like, but y'all, Blanchard, so, great, sorry,
oh, that's so cute.
We had a moment.
What do you think was your favorite quote from this episode?
Ooh. Mine would have to be, I wouldn't piss on Joan Crawford if she was on fire.
Yeah, I think probably same.
Yeah, I had a few quotes.
Just because that was real, too.
I'd like when Joan offered to read both parts.
Yeah.
I like that, left. Too.
Another quote of mine is when, I forgot his name, but he sends her the flowers, and she's like, you know, he's 5 years older than me, and he's hotter than he's ever been. He's winning awards, and I'm pimping myself. So I really love that. I forgot who was. He's in, I forgot. Sorry, guys. Don't kill me.
There's just so many
so many great quotes
this whole time. Even just, you know, Harriet talking about... You wear your slippers to lunch and you smashed all my Sinatra records. Yeah. Like just that one little, so good.
She's over it.
If you guys have any favorite quotes,
let us know.
Let us know. Tweet at us. Keep the conversation going. Yeah, where can we find more from you guys?
You can find me everywhere at Lisa Mason Lee.
You guys can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom and keep the comments coming. We love them.
Yes. And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. You can find all of us here at BHL Online. And again, yeah, make sure that you comment, subscribe. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, all the good stuff. We can't wait to see
And happy birthday to Raquel. Yeah, she's not here. Raquel. Happy birthday, Raquel. Hey, girl.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you next week.
Peace out.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined!
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.